Lex Domini irreprensibilis convertens animas testi.
February 2020, Matthew 5:17-37. Do not imagine that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to complete them. In truth, I tell you, till heaven and earth disappear, not one dot, not one little stroke is to disappear from the law until all its purpose is achieved. Therefore, anyone who taketh away even one of the least of these commandments and teaches other to do the same will be considered the least in the kingdom of heaven. But the person who keeps them and teaches them will be considered great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, if your uprightness does not surpass that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard how it was said to our ancestors, "You shall not kill, and if anyone does kill, he must answer for it before the court." But I say this to you, anyone who is angry with a brother will answer for it before the court. Anyone who calls a brother fool will answer for it before the Sanhedrin, and anyone who calls him traitor will answer for it in hellfire. So then, if you are bringing your offering to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go and be reconciled with your brother first, and then come back and present your offering. Come to terms with your opponent in good time while you are still on the way to the court with him, or he may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the officer, and you will be thrown into prison. In truth, I tell you, you will not get out till you have paid the last penny. You have heard how it was said, "You shall not commit adultery." But I say this to you, if a man looks a woman lustfully, he has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye should be your downfall, tear it out and throw it away, for it will do you less harm to lose one part of yourself than to have your whole body thrown into hell. And if your right hand should be your downfall, cut it off and throw it away, for it will do you less harm to lose one part of yourself than to have your whole body go to hell. It has also been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a writ of dismissal. But I say this to you, everyone who divorces his wife, except for the case of an illicit marriage, makes her an adulteress. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard how it was said to your ancestors, "You must not break your oath. You must fulfill your oath by the Lord." But I say this to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, since that is God's throne, or by earth, since that is footstool, or by Jerusalem, since that is the city of the great King. Do not swear by your own head either, since you cannot turn a single hair white or black. All you need to say is yes, if you mean yes, no, if you mean no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. The great theme in the first section is faithfulness to the commandment of God. Jesus does not abolish the commandment of God, but he comes to fulfill it. He lets us understand it even better in its spiritual content. It is not only if we kill we come to judgment, but much earlier, namely if we rob our brother of his honor, for example. If we insult and abuse him, in a certain sense this also means killing him and is shameful in the eyes of God. When the Lord calls us to pray even for our enemies, how much more does it hurt love when we insult our brother? We then do not yet really understand the tender love of God, because it should be realized between us human beings. That is why the Lord must explain it to us again and again, and above all, power this love through His Spirit in our heart. The next example also speaks of the way in which God wants us to deal with each other. Before we go before God, we should clear up our differences with our brother, settle the matter with him, so that nothing stands between God and us. For only a reconciled heart can properly receive God's love, because it does not close itself off. Peace can also be made with the opponent. The more exact determination of the commandments becomes very clear. Jesus clearly shows that marriage, as the Church teaches, is indissoluble. This is a truth that is less and less understood and practiced in today's society. This high dignity of marriage is linked to a special nature of the union between man and woman, which embraces body, soul, and spirit. From it grows a unity that is destined for the whole of life and also for the safety of the children. The Lord makes it clear to us that swearing is not necessary, because God simply wants a clear yes or a clear no from us. This yes or no should permeate our whole life. It has something to do with sincerity and clarity that God wants from us. Of course, we should keep what we have promised, and we do not need to swear to it. Our whole life must stand behind our statement, not go down any hidden path or open doors if a clear decision has to be made for us. It is better to make a mistake once and correct it than to never be able to come to a decision. Jesus therefore continues the revelation that has already been given to the people of Israel, or rather, all the revelation of former times ran to him, and in him now comes the fulfillment. In his discipleship, we learn to become what we are. It is his love that makes us become that. Truth and love enter into a wonderful covenant into which we are taken. In other words, Jesus, who is the truth in person, the Son of God, takes us into the mystery of God's love. We become truly at home in him, and our search becomes different. If we previously searched for God, our way now is to realize the love we have found every day in our intimate relationship with God and in His love for humanity.
The introit we hear today says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple."
Celien arant gloriam Dei, et opera manum eius annunciat firmamentum.
Destimo. sapiencia.